You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
All of our campuses, everybody everywhere, I hope that you're standing at this time. So Siena, Cypress, Espanol, Downtown, the Loop, everybody's standing up. We're going to declare, to kick off the new year, our Difference Makers Declaration. And I want you to declare it with all that you've got. So let's say it together. All over our city. I want you to get this in your mind. We're saying this all over our city at the same time through all of our campuses. That's powerful. Let's say it together. I was made for more than watching. I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, spirit-empowered legacy to leave. Jesus, I ask you to work deeply in me and clearly through me as I pray, give, and go in your love. I am a difference maker in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now you can take a seat. That's good. Everybody take a seat all over every campus, every place. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 33 is where we're going to be. Jeremiah chapter 33. And I also want you to grab your listening guide. It's in your weekly guide that you got when you came in. Looks just like this. You're going to need this because I'm going to ask you basically to sleep with this underneath your pillow for the rest of the spring, okay? There's a lot of different sermons that you can preach, a lot of different kinds of sermons you can preach. If I step into a funeral, I'm going to preach a comforting sermon. That's what it's going to be. If I step into an instructional time, there's going to be a real teaching sermon, and you're going to learn the 10 differences between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we're all going to think about these things and be able to do that. There's times that we need to get our act together, and there's sermons that you preach that are basically a rebuke, where you're like, guys, we're going right when we need to be going left. There's different sermons that you could preach. Topical can be preached, instructional can be preached, comforting, rebuking. Today is a leadership and vision casting sermon. That's what I'm preaching to you today. It is going to be a lot, and you're going to take it in and go, whoa, 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 whoa. But if Christianity is always manageable to you, then you're not walking in the deep things of the Lord, right? So we're going to, at every campus, every place, we're going for it with a leadership vision sermon with basically three things. And they're at the top of your listening guide, praying, giving, going, three things. And I'm going to ask you at the end of these, each one of these, will you do it? Will you go for it? Will you take that next step? Because we're all big into making New Year's resolutions, but a lot of times they're really shallow and they're not done with prayer. And so we end up falling apart by the end of January. But instead, let's come and let's say, Lord, let's get about these three things for this year. All of us are praying. All of us are giving. All of us are going to some degree. But all of us at the same time, God could do more in us, couldn't he? And he could take us deeper. So I want you to hang on. It's going to be very enjoyable. Don't worry. But it's going to be very challenging as well. And we're going to look into the scriptures and we're going to see some amazing things about praying, giving, and going. And my goal today is to lead you and cast vision for our spring so that you will be able to stand right before these questions. Will I step in? And then you will make that decision before the Lord. So high application, high leadership, high vision. Here we go. Jeremiah 33, verse 1 through 3. Here we go. While he was still, that's Jeremiah, confined in the guard's courtyard, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. Now watch verse 2 as God shows who he is and says, now this is who's saying this. It's a big deal. It's a big intro. The Lord who made the earth, that's pretty cool. The Lord who formed it and to establish it. Yahweh, or the Lord in some versions, the Lord is his name. He says this, so the creator God, the Lord of all, he says this. What's he going to say? Verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know. So he says, call to me and I will answer you. The creator of all of the world is saying to you and I at the beginning of this year, call to me and I'll answer you. I want that verse to be true in my life. I want to know God. I want to know some things. Well, what's he going to tell us? I'll tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. I'll tell you things that you don't know what's going on. And that's what I want God to tell me. I don't always want God to be involved in what I already know, though I do. I want God to show me some things I don't know. And so what's the recipe? Call to me. Who? The creator of the universe, the creator of the world, the one who establishes it and forms it. The Lord is his name, and he invites us to call to him. So what we want to do is we want to be people of prayer. We want to be people of prayer. Now, do you pray? Sure you pray. Do I pray? Yeah, I pray. But all of us could step it up a notch and say, Lord, I want to pray deeper. I want to pray more. I want to ache for you. I want to long for you. So here we go. I'm going to scare you. Here's what I'm asking you to do in January. I'm asking you in the month of January that you would find a time of prayer and fasting in the month of January. January is pray. No food, no prayer. N-O food, K-N-O-W, prayer. That we would know God through that. Now, just to put you at ease, I'm not talking about no food for the entire month of January, okay? We're not quite that Navy SEALs for Jesus, you know, for that just yet. But I want us, and I'll show you, I've got an on-ramp for everybody in the room with this. Because some of you already went, oh, that's not me. This is for the Navy SEALs. This is not for me. Fasting is a letting go of a physical need for a spiritual plea. Fasting is a letting go of a physical need for a spiritual plea. Now, you don't know how much you love food or a certain aspect of food until you get away from it for a little bit. And what you'll find is there will be an ache in your stomach, an ache in your heart. You will have determined, no, God wants me to have that. I must have it, because once it gets away from you a little bit, you begin to hunger, you begin to ache. Why should we fast? Fasting is not about a physical thing. I'm not calling you to diet. I'm calling you to plead with God at a deeper level. Every one of us in this room after Christmas, after New Year's, needs to basically make a change. We've all eaten too much pie over the last month. Everybody. I'm not calling you, oh, good, that's fine. That's just great. I needed something like this. This is not about a diet. This is about a spiritual plea. It's letting go of a physical need for a spiritual plea, because here's what will happen. You will begin to ache. And when you begin to ache, that physical ache is to turn into a spiritual ache. Lord, as I want a sandwich, I want you more. As I want food in my mouth, I want you more. As I want this in my tummy, I want you more. I want my physical ache to turn into a spiritual ache for you. Because Lord, I really want the sandwich more than I want you. And this is a great revelation for me. And you use your cravings and your meal time as prayer time. So the time that you've taken away, you're able to use that as prayer time. So now what you would have spent there eating, now you spend here praying. And you say, Lord, I want to go after you. I want to call to you, and you will answer me and show me great and mighty things that I know not of. There's 70 references to fasting in the Bible. Moses, Elijah, Esther, Ezra, Job, David, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Jesus. If we want to be those kind of saints, then we got to do those kind of things, don't we? We can't just say, well, I'm not gonna do any of that, but I want God to speak to me like he spoke to them. It doesn't work like that. And I'm not trying to give you a bunch of works at all. There's grace, no question, but there's an unction, there's an earning. See, hunger aches become prayer aches. It's a statement that we're more than physical beings, we're spiritual beings. It elevates heavenly needs above earthly needs. Now, the first time I ever did this, my friends were doing something like this in college, and so I decided I'd fast a day, and about 2 o'clock that day, I was convinced that the Lord was A-okay with me going to Sonic and getting a huge milkshake. And I did. And what happened? All that ice cream went in my stomach, the hunger pains went away. I still prayed, I still sought, but I missed out on what God wanted to do in a lot of ways, didn't I? Because let me just tell you, just flat out, sacrifice is required. Now, I know I just cussed to Americans to use the word sacrifice. So I want us on all campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol, the Loop, I want us to all cuss together at church by saying the word sacrifice together in unison as Americans. Okay, you ready? Because that's a cuss word really to us as Americans, isn't it? So on the count of three, we're all going to cuss together by saying sacrifice. Here we go. One, two, three. Sacrifice. One more time. One, two, three. Sacrifice. Didn't it feel like vinegar just coming out of your mouth? Blah. But God will do something so great, so great. So I want to give you three choices in the month of January of this time of fasting and prayer. Three choices. The first one is what's called a Daniel fast, and I want to show you the scripture. Here's the scripture from Daniel chapter 1. Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. So 10 days in this fast. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them about this matter and tested them for 10 days. And then, you know, the rest of the story, I assume, Daniel and those that fasted on a Daniel fast, they looked better and they were stronger because God was their power than those who ate the king's food. So a Daniel fast is 10 days in this. A different place in Daniel is a 21-day Daniel fast. I'm calling us, if you want to jump in this one, there's two others, if you want to jump in this one, to a 5-day Daniel fast. Now, why? Am I trying to be anti-biblical? No, I'm not. I'm trying to provide an on-ramp for folks that this is new for, so that you could get there. And if you get to day 5 and you want to move to day 10, then that's on your own deal. You want to go to day 21, but if I throw out a 21-day fast, we're going to have like 4 people do it, okay? And it's going to be the ones that already have done it 10 times. So we're going to jump in easy, and here's what's going to happen. At some point in January, you can choose if you want to be a part of a Daniel fast. I got two other options, but you're going to choose if you want to be a part of a Daniel fast. What is a Daniel fast? It's basically eating side items for the entire time is what it is, okay? It's fruits, it's vegetables, it's whole grains, it's water, it's other things. On this list, I'll tell you where this list in a minute. To avoid, we avoid dairy, fried foods, meat or animal products, fish or sweeteners, all of those things. And I have on your listening guide here, there is a bold-faced website that we have given every person. And I want you to go to that if you're at all interested. It will give you this 3-page document here about all of the stuff that takes place with a Daniel fast, because you're going to have to go to the store and do something a little bit different. So you don't have to do it tomorrow, but here's what's happening. Tomorrow, and you can pray, our entire church staff at every campus, a full-time staff, and our deacon body is starting a Daniel fast tomorrow for the next 5 days. And we're calling out on God for this year. That's what we're doing. And we're saying, Lord, we're going for it. And we're going to say, God, you do what you want to do in our church and in our lives. And we're going to fast for our families. We're going to fast for our church. We're going to fast for the vision that I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. All that's going to happen, we're going for it, and we're saying, Lord, you do that. So what a Daniel fast, is that something that you might want to be a part of? If not, that's okay. That's cool. Number two is this. A complete fast, meaning no food, only drink, only liquid, would be a complete fast for 1 day a week for the rest of the weeks of January. 1 day a week for the rest of the weeks of January. Or, if you can't do that, a complete fast for 1 meal a week for the rest of January. So the rest of the weeks of January, 1 meal a week, that you skip 1 meal and you give that time to prayer. Now here's my question on that one. What are you doing tomorrow for breakfast? If you do not have a breakfast appointment that can't be changed, you don't have to change your appointment, but if you don't have a breakfast appointment tomorrow morning, then you got number 3 in your pocket. And everybody can do it. Oh no, why'd he say that? Everybody can jump in at this place. So is it a Daniel fast? That's great. Is it a complete fast for 1 day a week for the month of January? Is it a fast of 1 meal a week for the month of January? What is it that God will have you do? What will be a part of your life in this time and in this place that you can jump in that? And let's do Jeremiah 3:33, easy to remember, 33:3, and call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Sometimes we're not hearing from God because we're not really seeking God and really going out. And so Siena, Cyprus, downtown, Espanol, everybody, Loop, let's go for it. And let's make this first month of the year a month of prayer that we say, God, for our families, our friends, our church, we're going for it for the kingdom of God. We're going for it, the kingdom of God. Here's what Adrian Rogers says. The church advances on its needs. Few things are talked about more in church than prayer, yet relatively few saints know and experience the marvels of prayer. Satan sneers at our schemes, mocks at our methods, and laughs at our learning, but he is paralyzed by our prayer. So God wants us and is calling us to take that step. Now let's take the next step. After we've prayed, what's February going to be about? What's February going to be taken care of? February is a give month. February is a give month. We built upon the foundation of prayer. Now, February is a give month. Give of our resources, yes, of course. Give of our time, yes, of course. Give of our spiritual giftedness, yes, of course. Give of our encouragement, give of our teaching, all those things, yes. See, God desires generosity for us, not from us. That's a different worldview. God desires generosity for you, not from you. And giving brings a release in our heart and growth to our faith. So I'm asking as clear as I can ask, will you fast in January? And I'm coming next asking as clear as I can ask, will you give, not just in February, I mean, please don't just shut it down for, you know, the rest of January on giving or we're really gonna be in trouble, but to be able to give and to say, God, what do you want me to be a part of? Where do I need to give? What does it need to be? How does this need to work in my life? What's the release you need to bring in my heart? Because you can't serve God and money. It says in the scriptures, you either serve God or money. And so we have this, it's a spiritual journey, not financial. I'm not calling you to food and finances. I'm calling you to faith is what I'm calling you to. See the difference? I'm not calling you to diet and to banking. I'm calling you to faith in Jesus Christ, to call upon the creator of the universe, to call on me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that I do not know. Well, I've never done this before. I don't know what will happen. Great and mighty things you do not know. That's what he's talking about, is discovering things you do not know of the blessing that is on the other side of that. Now, we've had an incredible December. It's been very interesting, some complexities to it. Number one, and I want you to celebrate this because this is you as a church. We have given, in the last few months, $800,000 to the World Mission Offering to go outside the doors of this church for World Missions. Now, think of that, $800,000 going out to outside the doors of this church, not a nickel staying here, all of that going to World Missions. That's incredible. And at the same time, we've struggled in being able to do the ministry that God's given us to do for this year. Why? Let me just take you behind the scenes in church world for just a second. Every 7 years, Christmas and New Year's fall on a Sunday. And that's fun and neat, but it's an obliteration in church world because literally our attendance drops by 80%. And what happens is, I wish all of us were disciplined enough that if we weren't here, we continued to give, but that's not what happens. You're thinking, did I? And yeah, think through those things. And so it basically is obliterated by 80%. And so you just kind of hobble through those 2 weeks every 7 years to be able to come through. And so we went from about $45,000 down in the budget at the end to about $450,000 in 2 weeks to be able to go. So $800,000 going out the door to World Missions and almost $500,000 going backwards in a different way. That's a topsy-turvy thing, isn't it? That's a wind in the waves. That's an interesting way to be able to go through. But it's a place for us to be able to say, Lord, we want to walk in faith. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 32. Matthew 14, verse 22 through 32. So what happens in this time is we say, Lord, we trust you. So yeah, there's got to be a little bit of catch up. Maybe you're thinking, oh man, yeah, I need to catch up. That's great. Jump in. We'd love for that to happen so we can continue to minister in the ways that we've been ministering. That's awesome. But I want to show you this familiar passage of scripture of Peter walking on the water. And I want to show you this, how this connects together. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 32. And we probably won't get to 32, but we'll cruise along for a while. Immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So the disciples are feeling like this, where's God? Where's God? Where's Jesus? But the boat was already over a mile from land. Check out this verse. We're gonna stick with it for a second. A mile from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Now, just stick with that for just a second. They are in a boat. The waves are battering the boat. The wind is against them. Jesus is praying over here. They're a mile from land. And watch what happens in verse 25. Around 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. Have courage. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter answered, command me to come onto the water. Come, he said, and climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water towards Jesus. What's happening in that passage of scripture? You ready? This is going to be something spiritual for you to take for the rest of your life. We want to step out of the boat when the sea is glassy and the temperature is 72 degrees with a ladder on the side of the boat. and we'll put one foot out. Does it work? Okay. We'll put it, it's work. Okay, I got you, Jesus. When is Peter called to get out of the boat? In the midst of the wind and the waves battering and the wind against him, in the midst of that, he steps out of the boat. And the rest of the story, what happens? When he has his eyes on Jesus, he's cool. When he looks at the wind and the waves, he begins to sink. God is calling you and me personally and us as a church in the midst of the wind and the waves to step out of the boat in faith. There's wind and waves all around us. What's Trump going to do when he's president? What's oil going to do? When's the economy going to do this? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? I just got to wait. I got to see. And God say, look at the wind and the waves of all of those things. You got to walk in faith. And if you call out to me in prayer, then I'm going to give you the strength to walk in faith. And you're going to be able to give of yourself and give of your heart and give of your life. And so now we have as a church a faith moment. We have a faith moment. And I wish that the wind and the waves were still. We could just kind of go, okay. But that's not the moment you see in Matthew 14, and that's not the moment of faith. Here is our faith moment. God has given us an opportunity in all of the different places, and we've seen it in opportunities at the Loop campus when we've done Mission 1-8, and we've done in all campuses, but when we rebuilt the worship center and all the improvements we've done here, we've seen it as we've gone out, and in Siena, we were able to purchase the building that Siena meets in a few years back, and now we were able to redo the children's and preschool and all different areas in Siena, and I hope you're blessed by that, Siena, even at this moment. Cypress, the Grand Parkway and 290, a little bit south of 290, a building's coming out that on June 4th is going to be our first worship service in this amazing building in Cyprus. It's going to be great. Espanol, I really believe that one of the greatest tools in the hands of the Lord in the city of Houston is bilingual people. And so we're seeing folks saying, I want to worship and I want to reach kind of my people, my language group with that. And so we've seen Espanol and some great things happening there. And now God has provided for us an opportunity in downtown Houston. In downtown Houston, we have the opportunity to step out of the boat and buy an entire city block in downtown Houston. It's been on the market for two, let's go ahead and cheer. I hope you're gonna cheer again. As people of faith, you don't even know what we're buying and you're cheering, that's awesome. I like it, that's a good way to be. An entire city block, it's been on the market on and off for 2.5 years. Nobody wants to buy it for this reason. It's got too much lobby space, too many bathrooms, and a 600-seat auditorium. Yeah. All campuses, that's good. What do you want in a church? You want a big lobby, you want a bunch of bathrooms, and you want an auditorium, right? So nobody wants to buy it because God's just had it waiting on us. We believe, as we've looked, and our commercial real estate folks have given a ton of time to this in our church, and so it's been amazing to see. We're basically buying the building for the cost of the land and getting the building for free. God has given us this opportunity in downtown Houston. They expect it to grow from 5,000 people right now living down there to 20,000 people in that area in the next 4 or 5 years. There's 19 condominiums being built in downtown Houston right now. East downtown is growing like crazy as well. All sorts of stuff happening in a great way there. And God's calling us in this moment as we go along with the wind and the waves to step out of the boat. Well, what about the budget? And what about President Trump? And what about the economy? And what about oil? And what about the wind? And what about the waves? And God's saying, you just look at me and you just keep walking. And you let Jesus be the guide of what's happening with that. So what has happened is this. The building costs $9 million. We think it's going to take another $3 million-ish to renovate it, to make it from an office place to a worship place. We also want to seed in a good way the downtown staff and budget so that as they get this new building, they have time to grow into it. They don't feel the pressure all of a sudden of now we got all this expense as well and it just is too much. So we want to seed that, and we think that's about $3 million. The building costs $9 million. So here's what happened. I've been aching. I've been struggling. I've been praying. And I just tell you, here's how it works for a leader. And many of you, all of y'all are leaders somewhere, but many of you will connect with this deeply. Leaders carry a burden before the people carry the burden. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And so I've been aching with this, and I've cried over this. I've prayed over this. We've fasted over this. And it's not just me, it's staff, it's other folks as well. And here's what's happened, is God has been doing some amazing things. And I didn't feel like we should take it to the entire church months ago when this opportunity was here, because I just couldn't see bringing you pledge cards and we're gonna do this for a year and it's gonna be 2 years of this. It just got crazy. So we drew together some of our leaders, our deacons and some other leaders. We drew them together and we basically said, not all the leaders in the church, just some of them. We said, is this crazy? Does this make sense? Is this an opportunity from God or is this a distraction? I mean, what do you think about this? And just coming back, feedback, yes, go for it. We need to do this. And so what happened is then those folks then stepped up and said, we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of what God's doing. Before it goes to the whole church, we want to be leaders that step out. And so I'm telling you today, right now in this moment, we already have $9 million towards the building. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Now, that's part from the generosity of folks. That's part from the stewardship of your church staff that's been basically having money back here so that when we have an opportunity, we can go for it. And also a state gift that somebody said we want to give even upon in our death, and we want to give, and that came in to be able to do that. So we're going to take to you as a church, all campuses, all places in February, we're going to ask you to give an accelerated giving that we can make up that moment and that time so that we can get this building done and online. This is not a building for the downtown campus. This is a building for the city of Houston. And for 20 years from now, I think we will be vastly grateful that we have a city block in downtown Houston to use for ministry for the rest of our days until Jesus returns. And so, yeah. So I'm asking you if you'd pray. I'm asking you if you'd fast. And I'm asking you if you'd give in February. And you just ask the Lord, what do you want me to do to be a part of that? And I want you to hear, I've been aching, and we've been aching over this. I want to read to you, just so you'll know, one other thing before we move to our last point. This is my preparation journal. This is what I prepare out of. All my messages, you could find every message that we've been going through recently in here. And I wrote this down, and I just want to share it with you because I found it this week and tell you where this is all coming from. December 13th, 2016, it was some days I was trying to take off in between celebration to Christmas Eve. I was trying to take some days off, but you know, when you're a leader, you're never really off, are you? Your mind's always working. December 13th, 2016, 4:30 a.m., leaders don't sleep well. My mind is drifting towards HFBC. Like a train headed my way, I can hear the rumbling. I desire the anxiety to become excitement. Lord, lead me and us as a church. We walk by faith, Matthew 14. We walk by faith. We go to the difficult places. We risk. We stress. Stretch. As believers in the unseen, we walk by faith. Help me to articulate the journey. And sitting there at my house, you can't see it, but page after page, you get to this page, and this page is the exact page of the message that I'm preaching to you right now, that God gave me sitting on my couch there at 4:45, 4:50, whatever it was in the morning, of just saying, this is it. This is where we need to go. This is what God's doing. And so I'm not calling you to do something I hadn't done. I'm calling you to ache for your city and to walk with God in a great way. Will you pray? Will you fast? Will you give? Will you let God do something in you that's deeper than you've ever let him do before? Number three, March. What's March and April going to be about? March and April is going to be about go. Praying, giving, going. It's a part of our Difference Makers Declaration. We've been saying it for years now, or a year now at least, over a year. Praying, giving, going. April and March and April is about go. We'll get more specific dates to you, of course, on everything. But here we have, here is we're going to go. We want to be a regional church, yes, being all over the city, but we want to be a relational church where you can invite your neighbor and they come right there with you to church because it's a part of your city and a part of your neighborhood where you live. So here's the two things that we're going to ask you about going in March and April, and we want you to begin praying about it today. A, to a closer campus to connect with your area. Pray about going to a closer campus to connect with your area. Maybe you're attending a campus of ours that's not really the closest campus to your house, and God's going to call you as you pray about this and say, you know what? I want you to be a part of that Cypress building as its first worship service happens on June 4th, and we declare the praise. We want this arsenal of people. We want to be a part of that. The fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So maybe God's going to call you to be a part of Cypress. Maybe in your heart right now, you're like, I don't know why, but I think downtown sounds amazing. We're supposed to be there in that building to help that thing go in Siena, in Cypress, and downtown in the Loop. Maybe you're supposed to come to the Loop from a different campus that you're closer to the Loop than any other campus. Espanol, you speak Spanish. And it's like, yeah, I need to use that for the kingdom of God in some way. And so we're praying about going, and we're asking you, where do you live in the map, and where are you closest to? And will that help you to reach your neighborhood and the people that you're around in a greater way? Number two, we're asking to step up to serve. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. So we have some that are stepping out to a different campus, hopefully hundreds. We have all of us that are stepping up to serve. Because if people step out, that's going to leave holes of leadership at different places. So we need other people to step up to say, I'll be the person in preschool and children. I'll be the person in the high school and middle school. I'll be the person to teach or to direct or to serve in the parking lots, whatever it is. Everybody's got to step up as we have people step out, or we end up with a bunch of holes, don't we? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. And we actually go backwards instead of forward of what we're trying to do. So we're asking, I'm asking you, will you take January and pray? And trust that God will lead you into February as he wishes to give. And then he'll lead you into March and April to go as he desires. But it will all be based upon Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And then he'll lay whatever on your heart in giving, whatever in your heart on going, and God will take care of everything that's there. This is a vision leadership message. I'm asking you to consider these three things. The fastest one being January of prayer and fasting. Will you do that? February, from your prayer time, what will happen? March and April of giving and going, what will happen in those places? And then we will see God on the move in us. And here's the truth. If you and I are right with God, the church stuff takes care of itself. It takes care of itself. So I'm calling you to a personal place with Jesus. As we close, I want to share one other thing from your heart. I don't know how much more to share my heart with you than to read my journal to you. But I want to tell you just one other story. A couple weeks ago, we were coming up I-45 north, kind of coming by U of H, Hobby Airport, and coming into downtown. And so I've prayer walked this building downtown. I've prayer walked inside this building downtown, outside this building downtown. I've driven around it. Kelly and I have driven around it a bunch of times. I mean, and whenever I'm on 45 or 59, that kind of area, and I'm looking at downtown, I am praying for downtown and praying for that building of what God wants to do with that. And so I'm coming up I-45 north. I passed U of H, passed Hobby, passed U of H. You know where I'm going. And I'm coming up, and I'm listening to a message. It's a sermon, a podcast of a message from Breakaway Ministries. I'm on the board there. You know the whole story on that through the years of me being there before I was here. And so I'm listening to that message. I just picked out one. I said, I like that verse. I'm going to listen to that one. And I'm driving. As I'm driving up, I begin to kind of zone out of the message for just a minute. I know that never happens when I'm preaching to y'all. I mean, I know your mind never drifts, you know, that you don't have a shopping list at the top of your listening guide every once in a while. But it just begins to drift for a moment, and I begin as I'm coming into downtown. I'm going to be able to see the building. We're going to tell you more about the building. You're going to get plenty of information about that in coming weeks. But to be able to see that, and I'm coming up on it. I can't see it yet, but I'm starting to get nervous. And I'm like, Lord, I'm about to preach this. It's about to be public. Is just one more time. Is this right, Lord? Is this what we need to do? Is this you, God? What do you want? Just if we need to hit the brakes, let me just please, God. I'm starting to feel that leadership nervousness kind of thing. And I'm pulling up, and then I zone back into the message. And when I zone back into the message, I'm going to play the video clip for you. I was listening to it audio because I don't have a TV in my car, you know, so I'm listening to this audio. But I want to play the video for you so you can see it. And when I tuned back in, I tuned back in to this moment in the message.
The finish line is coming, and God has put me here tonight in your life to cheer you on and to say, keep going, keep running, dig down deep, press into Jesus, question well, run your race, finish strong, because the finish line is coming, and a day is coming where you will cross that line. And you will see Jesus face to face, and you will experience this soul-satisfying joy in his presence for all of eternity. And it will be worth it.
And if I didn't need more, the white pickup truck in the next lane had a bumper sticker on the window that said, "Trust Jesus." And the car to my left over here had, like, you know, the ichthuses that are kind of silver, and they look like metal, but they're plastic. They had one of those on the back bump, on the back part of the car, of a cross. And then I came right up over, and then there was our building. And I just said, "Lord, as far as I know faithfulness, as far as I know your word and your heart, I think you're leading us to step out of the boat. But the wind and the waves and the budget and the this and the that, just look at me and step out."
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.